I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through.
Welcome to this podcast from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. Faith Bible Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-teaching ministry dedicated to bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now, for this week's message from Pastor Alan Battle.
It's good to see you this morning. My name is Bobby, otherwise better known as Alan and Gina's son-in-law. If you would, please turn to Joshua chapter 1. We'll be reading chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all his people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, would you now open our eyes and our hearts, our ears to hear and see, feel and understand your presence and what you have for us this morning. Lord, we call upon your spirit to now fill us, that we may leave here different, to look a little more like you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Bobby.
Our faith is rooted in history. And it's imbued with purpose. The history of mankind on planet Earth is going somewhere. It's not an endless recurring cycle. It began, and it has an end. It began with Adam and Eve in the garden, and it will end with the second coming of Christ and the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus is both the author of that story and the key figure in the story. And although he's eternal, he's entered into history. He describes himself to us in chronological terms. It says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. When Jesus called on John to write the book of Revelation, he told him, write therefore the things that you have seen, the things that are, and the things that are to take place after this. So as we enter into this new year, I would like for us as a church to take a look at where we have been and where we are now and where we are going. And I wanted to use the book of Joshua as kind of a springboard for that, a guide and an example for us. When Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, it wasn't an accident of history. It was according to God's eternal plan. And that's true of all history. Nothing happens that God doesn't want to happen towards his ultimate goal of redeeming mankind. He's going to redeem himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. So, Moses was dead. Now, the Lord gave Joshua and the people a task. The task to enter the land and to possess it. And it wasn't going to be easy. Notice how many times he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. They were going to have to fight. But Yahweh promised to be with them. And that promise came with a history. He said in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The same way God was with Moses, he's going to be with Joshua. And just think about all the stuff that Moses experienced. Here in Joshua 4, now, we have one of the markers, one of the milestones of their journey. Every journey has victories and milestones. And we read in Joshua 4 what God said to them after they had crossed the Jordan. That was their first step. They had to cross the Jordan to enter into the land. And it says in verse 1, when all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out to the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over and you with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. When Joshua called the 12 men from the people of, then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So here is the first milestone in their journey into taking the promised land. Here at Faith Bible Church, we have a milestone that hangs in the secretary's office. And it is our original charter. In 1976, God gave 32 original members the task of forming this church, Faith Bible Church. And some of you have been here since before this building was put up. There's no longer anyone here that signed that original charter, but there are a few that have been here for many years. And I know that you could tell us stories of milestones along the way in the history of this church. And I'm confident that you would include in those milestones the construction of this building. And Brigida was just asking me about that today. Is what year did we build this building? Well, I'm not sure. I think it was around 85, was it? Uh, 85 and 86. This small group, I mean, it was a small church. They accomplished an enormous feat in putting this building up. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of sacrifice. There were a lot of volunteer hours involved. A lady that used to go here recently gave us some photos of the building construction. So I scanned a few of them in to the computer this week so I could just show you a few of them. So the first one is, there was nothing up here but sagebrush. And then they got the floor down. And that takes dedication out there in the snow, working on this building. And then they started putting the walls up. I'm told that this was accomplished mostly by volunteer labor. And so here's some volunteers coming out of the church. And there's Brigida. She told me she swung a hammer here. So I don't know how. She might have been working all day there, coming out to take a break. And then here's the entrance, almost done, soon to be an open door for the gospel. And then finally, the finished product. And there it is, full. One of the early meetings. So we have a wonderful heritage here at Faith. This church that has faithfully taught the Bible for over 40 years. The founders began this way, and the church has never wavered from the foundational conviction of honoring and teaching the Word of God. Look at the introduction and the first article of our Constitution. It says, "We recognize the clear teachings of the Scriptures and trust in them as our only source of authority for all beliefs and practices. Faith Bible Church therefore subscribes to the following articles of faith." And the first one is the Holy Scriptures. The Bible, Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God, verbally inspired, the final authority for faith and life, inerrant in the original writings, infallible, and God-breathed. And God has given this church several faithful pastors through the years since Garland Shin began it in 1976, and then Lance Clippinger and John Teeter, and then Steve Yon, who's just before us. And now Gina and I are humbled to be numbered among those leaders. We ask that you'd pray for us, that we maintain the legacy of this church. When I first applied for the position here, I was asked if I wanted to change the name of the church. And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, no, I don't want to change the name. I love the name. It clearly says what we're about. We teach the Bible, and we believe the Bible. What better verse could we have as a motto than Romans 10:17? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's important to remember our heritage. It reminds us of the faithfulness of God. It anchors us in history, and it assures us of our place in God's plan. But what about today? What about what is? When Joshua had accomplished his task of possessing the land, he reminded them of all the things the Lord had done to preserve them in their past victories. And Joshua then challenged the people to be faithful to Yahweh today. Joshua 24:14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So how are we serving him? How are we serving him today? Our Wednesday men's Bible study has been studying the book of Revelation. And we're just finishing up the seven letters to the seven churches. And each church in there has things that the Lord commends the churches for or condemns them for. So as we're poised on the brink of 2018, who are we as a church today? How would he look upon our church? I don't know about you, but the first thing that jumps to my mind when, what is it about our church that is distinctive? Unfortunately, the first thing that jumps to my mind is, well, we're so small. But that really isn't the most significant thing about our church. I can honestly say that I believe Jesus looks with favor on our little church. If you were to list the good things about our church, the things that Jesus might commend us for, what would they be? Well, I came up with a few. First off, we're friendly. Are we not? I hear this from visitors all the time, how friendly everybody is here. It's likely that they're going to be invited out to lunch the first time they come. That's happened many times. But friendliness, you know what that is? That's just the leading edge of love. And this is a loving church. Gina and I have experienced that love and acceptance from day one. You have strong ties with one another, and you've included us in that circle, and we're appreciative of it. I was especially blessed to see how many of you went out of your way to minister to our friend Richard, our late friend Richard. It was amazing. According to Jesus, this is the mark of the true Christian. He said that the world would know that we are his disciples by the love that we have for one another. And you're faithful. You know, first, we're faithful to God here. There's a strong faith in this church. There's real maturity and understanding of God's word. And it's evidenced by your living it out in everyday life. In other words, we teach and we live by the word of God. And we're faithful to meet with one another. Did you know that in most big churches that only about half of the people who regularly attend show up in any given week? That was true of my last church. When I was saved, back in the dark ages, it was normal for church members to come every week. And I did. I went every week, but I didn't attend because I thought I had to, because I thought it was an obligation. I went because I couldn't wait to be with my church family. And apparently Gina and I have landed among kindred spirits here, because you guys are all here all the time. And it's gratifying. And we faithfully give as a church. Here's some stats that I found on giving in the U.S. Tithers make up only 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. Only 5% of the U.S. tithes, with 80% of Americans only giving 2% of their income. Well, Christians are a little better than that. They give 2.5% of their income. And back during the Great Depression, Christians gave 3.3%. Something's changed. Now, I don't know how much anybody gives here, and I don't want to know, but I do know that you're generous enough to pay me a salary, to keep this place running, and to give over 10% towards missions. We are a giving church. And yeah, we're few. But does that really matter? We sang a song a couple weeks ago called Meet Us Here. And one of the lines says, "We are few, but we are strong when you surround us." And that's true of Faith Bible Church. We might seem small and insignificant, but in God's economy, that's not important. Every true church is a reflection of the bride of Christ and has a place in his kingdom. a role in the establishment of his kingdom. Listen to Francis Schaeffer, that he's kind of trying to dispel this idea that big is better. And he wrote back in the late 1900s, but it's just as applicable now. He says, from his book, No Little People, "Nowhere more than in America are Christians caught in the 20th century syndrome of size. Size will show success. If I am consecrated, there will necessarily be large quantities of people and dollars, etc. This is not so. Not only does God not say that size and spiritual power go together, but he even reverses this, especially in the teachings of Jesus, and tells us to be deliberately careful not to choose a place too big for us. We all tend to emphasize big works and big places, but all such emphasis is of the flesh. To think in such terms is simply to hearken back to the old, unconverted, egoist, self-centered me. This attitude, taken from the world, is more dangerous to the Christian than fleshly amusement and practice. It is the flesh. We are few, but we're strong. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect Lord who is perfecting us daily. I believe that God has us where he wants us at this point in history. Now, don't get me wrong. The elders and I are not content to just stay small, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we want God to give us the growth and not ourselves. We don't want it to come from fleshly motivation. So now, as we enter the new year, the question is, what is to come? Well, there's a big change. The change is our new affiliation. The church was founded as a member of the IFCA, the Independent Fundamentalist Churches of America. That organization was formed during the modernist fundamentalist controversy of the early 1900s, when the modernists wanted to discount the Bible as man-made. And the fundamentalists were fiercely faithful to the Bible as the inerrant word of God. That's how the IFCA came about. But the elders over this last year began talking about changing our affiliation, because there are no other IFCA churches in our area, and the church has had little involvement with the IFCA for like the last 20 years. So we found an organization that better fits our needs as a congregation. It's the old Conservative Baptist Association. It's now called CB America. And they were also formed during the modernist fundamentalist controversy, and for the very same reasons as the IFCA. So our change is not one of doctrine, it's just one of organization. Here's their mission and vision statement that I got from their website. The mission statement: CB America champions Great Commission fulfillment through missional networks. And the vision statement is, we desire to see gospel-centered congregations transforming every community. So you can see by these statements that these really do agree with who we are as a church. Very missions-minded. Here's a map showing all of the CBA congregations across the country. In mid-January, we'll be added to this map, and people who are looking for a CBA church will be able to find us. So hopefully that'll bring us some new people. The CBA is organized into regional associations, and we are in the Northern California, Nevada region. And that organization is called Next Generation Churches, or Next Gen. And Next Gen has 5 churches in our area. I already know 3 of the pastors out of those 5. And my son-in-law Bobby's church is also a CBA church, which is kind of a coincidence. We didn't know that going into this. So they have a lot of resources for us that will help us as a church. The one I'm most excited about is they have a team of evaluators that will do an assessment of our church and then give us advice on how to grow our church. And these are seasoned pastors who do this. A few weeks ago, we had a memorial service here. And they came in and they set up every chair that we have in this place. So I took a picture of the church with all those chairs set up. And I sent that picture to the elders and asked them to start praying with me to fill those seats. And then, as the service got going, Pete was here, and he took a picture of all those people. And there was standing room only, all the way to the back. Who knows what God wants? I don't know if he wants us to be bursting at the seams like that. Maybe he does. I pray he does. But I am confident that he wants us to grow. We have a long way to go. But as we enter into this new year, with your prayers and your faithfulness, we can get there. We can get wherever God wants us to get. And as we do that, though, let's never forget our ultimate goal, our ultimate destination. That's when we will be taken in to the presence of glory. We're still in a battle, but one day it's going to be over, and we'll enter into our rest. The children of Israel, under Joshua's leadership, they entered into a type of that rest. We have that in Joshua 21, starting in verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. We don't yet have that rest. And Hebrews talks about that. It says in chapter 4, verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." There's still enemies out there on every side, and there's still lots of people to be rescued. Rescued from eternal death. But we're encouraged to keep going, to work towards that day. In Galatians 6:9 it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So one day we're going to reap, and one day we're going to rest. One day we will see the fruits of our labor and enjoy each other in his presence forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you how far you've brought us. Lord, we thank you for the beginnings of this church. We thank you for the years of faithfulness, the lives that have been touched. Lord, we pray that now you would give us the wisdom to continue that legacy. Lord, that you would draw new people to us, that they might participate in this great task that you've given us. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that we do have an eternal destiny with you, that we will walk with you and with one another forever in your kingdom. Lord, that none of this will be in vain. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching of God's Word from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you and that the Word of God will fill your hearts and minds as you walk through this world. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to make a small donation to help defray the cost of this podcast, just click on the green Support Us button at the top of the webpage. Thank you.